Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Hey, Leisha, how you doing, girl? It's been a great
week
so far. Hey, V, what's going on?
I'm good. Feeling good.
That's a good thing.
That's good.
Busy
yes,
week.
Absolutely. We have a super busy week.
We
really do.
Yes,
well, let's get this show started so we can get the party going.
Okay, say no more. Welcome, everybody, to our Wednesday night edition of Writing Royalty Blog Talk Radio. My name is Tony, one of your three hosts this evening, giving you guys what we love to give you, the world of literature. I am an avid reader. I love reading. Reading is like my passion. I just love it. Words just excite me. And like Leisha said, we have an exciting show on tap for everybody tonight. We have the great Leo Sullivan as well as the talented June Miller. So I'm looking forward to getting to know these two great men a little bit more deeper. But to my right, I have the one and only best co-host, one of two of the best co-hosts, Leisha. Hey, girl, what's going on once again?
Oh, I'm good. So good, Tony. I'm so glad to be here. We're going to have some super fun tonight. I'm always excited because we always have, when our guests come on, we always have good guests. We always have good conversation. We always have good laughs. So it's always a party at Writing Royalty. So I'm excited.
Yes.
Now, for those who are just tuning in who don't know me, I'm Leisha. I'm the head of Writing Royalty Promotion, as well as the head promoter for Mimi Capri and Boss Lady Publishing. I am a admin for 4 Facebook groups. I'm also an avid reader. This is going to be an awesome show. We have, as Tony previously stated, we have June Miller and Leo Sullivan kicking in with us in the clubhouse tonight, so we know we're going to have a good time. I do want to give a few shout-outs to Serenity Hall. She has her new book, Traces of My Blood, which will be coming out on April the 11th. So shout out to Serenity Hall. And as always, the date is here, y'all. April the 18th. Get ready for the showdown. Cash and Aaron Bebo, Till My Casket Drops. That is April the 18th. That book will drop, and we will be ready. The readers will decide who will stand tall. I'm sorry, B. But you know I'm Team Cavs. But I got love for you, though.
Nope.
I really do.
I know. I see all the Team Cash people. You know, I mean, that's a beautiful thing to have that type of support. It's great to go out remembered that way, you know, by a huge amount of people. I'm going to tell you something that I did see that ain't nobody really speaking on, though. You know what I did see?
What's that?
I seen a lot of new Team Bebo, right? And not only that, I seen a couple of former Team Cash members.
Ooh.
You know, like Now they just sitting back. They ain't Team Bebo or Team Cash. They team, you know what, I'm staying out of this for somebody really. This Bebo sound like he about to kill everything moving. I'm just totally staying out the way of this. I'm not even going to say anything else. But it's going to be great. It's going to be great for literature. It's really historical because it's never been done before, ever.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just a positive vibe surrounding it. You know, it's a lot of this is just one small piece to things that need to transition and change in literature. Like I was listening to a show last night with Sharice and T Styles, and they coming at it from another angle. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like it's a lot of things going on. Like as long as people is paying attention, we're trying to make it better for the readers. You know, so they be getting quality product, and you know they don't come online to see a bunch of rhetoric or nothing like that. Like I remember, I used to get on Facebook. I can get on Facebook like 2-3 in the morning, yo. And it'll be like 15-16 book groups jumping. I'm not talking about no posting shoot ads or pictures of men. And I'm talking about everybody in there talking about books. Like you might have like 7-8 different conversations going on in one group with different groups of people because people were focusing on the reading, the books, you know, and people were meeting, and it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Like it got to come back to that, you know. I would like to see it come back to that, you know. So, and I definitely think that the Till My Casket Drop thing, you know, me and Cash is just trying to show that it could be friendly competition and that, you know, we as writers, we all could get along and we don't got a beef, you know, and really just to grow literature and get the people back focused on the books, not the beefing, but the books.
Right.
Like the beefing be taken away from the point.
It does. It really does. And you expressed some really key points. I would just love to be a part of a group that just discussed nothing but books and just passionate about those books.
Yo, I'm telling you, yo, it used to be like that. Like the transition I seen happen within in the last, like, I'll say probably 14 to 18 months as far as the attention of the readers. And dealing with the books has, you know, it declined so much. It got so crazy because this is just my opinion. I think that some people probably was, and it goes right to the topic we're talking about tonight too, hustle and game.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think some people didn't really have the hustle
mm-hmm.
and the game thing down pat, and instead of trying to sell a book or sell themselves as an author, they started selling a lot of different rhetoric. And people get caught up in trend quick, and it was just so many people doing it that it turned to, you know, people wasn't talking about books no more. Now they talking about, you know, something else.
Uh-huh.
And then, but see, and at one time I started even catching a lot of flack because I started going in on some of the groups like, yo, well, listen, if y'all doing this now, you know, y'all should take the literature banner off of your group. Don't be using literature to lure people in here. And then they come in here and all they see is a bunch of different, like, half-naked women and men and just nothing to do with books, period.
Right.
You know, so I started getting a little flack from that from some readers because they ain't like it, you know, because they was part of some of those groups. And plus some of them was probably participating and, you know, posting. But that's not nothing. Like, we all do things like that. But when it became overwhelming is when I was like, yo, come on, man. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so,
you're out of control.
Yeah, I wanted to get back to reading and focusing on books because when that decline happened, I'm going to tell you something else. I know this is just my personal opinion. I feel like the readers, not only did the readership decline, but people's comprehension level declined away from a decline too. Like, people started, they was feeding themselves with so much foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if they came across something that might have been something, it's like, I ain't got time for that. They just wanted it quick.
Mm-hmm.
Authors and readers alike, like, things just started going too quick. That's what I think happened, and it just got bonkers. And I wasn't ready for it. But now it's time to put the game back in perspective, get people's
Absolutely.
Hustle right, so we could, you know, really, you know, work the industry the way that it's supposed to be worked, and, you know,
yes.
do
yes.
our thing. We definitely got two
Absolutely.
Great people coming in tonight.
Absolutely. And a hot
topic. June Miller. What? June Miller is the game's best kept secret. Like, people don't even know. I mean, they know June Miller, but they don't know. Or they probably, a lot of people probably do know that he's the game's best kept secret. Like, he's definitely one of them dudes that you got to check out. He does what he does with the books. And he's a great, great character outside of that as well. So, you know, and in his first joint, The Game Has No Loyalty. So, you know, he got some, the 1, 2, and 3, the series. And I think 4 dropped recently, so you got to grab that too. You got to, he got the game down pat. You know what I mean? This is definitely a good subject to discuss with June. You know what I mean? And Leo, he got time in, you know.
And I'm looking forward to getting to know these two gentlemen a little bit deeper. But just to get a little bit of house cleaning out of the way, I just want to remind everybody to pick up Nene Capri's hot releases. She has quite a few of them out there. She has the T-Trap series 1, 2, and 3, and part 4 is on its way. So be on the lookout for that. She also has the Trust No Bitch series 1, 2, and 3. 3 just recently released, and it's a 5-star as usual. And she shares those hot titles with Cash, Street Lit author. So please pick those up as well. Nene also has an awesome release under the G Street Chronicle title, Tainted. If you don't have that, please get that in your library because you will not be disappointed. And be on the lookout for part 2 that's in the works. So you definitely got to pick up those titles. And with my co-host, Mr. Devo, his phenomenal works, you got to get those in your library also. He has Cupid's Assassin, Bunches of Love, which is part 2 to Cupid's Assassin. And he just had a great release, I Used to Love Her, under the G Street Chronicles. They are taking over. So you got to make sure you get that. They are taking over. And as Aaron said, he's part of that great, that great upcoming challenge with Cash and him. I'm looking forward to that dropping next Friday. Till My Casket Drops, 2 books, 2 authors, 1 title. History in the making. And to keep on top of everything hot, new, and upcoming, as well as exciting, please visit our blogs, Boss Lady Chronicles, at bossladies14.wordpress.com, Writing Royalty blog at writingroyalty2014.wordpress.com, and you can also visit writingroyalty.blogspot.com. Oh, every week, I just get more winded as I say those things. But bear with me. Those are just a few of the ways you can keep in contact with what's going on with Writing Royalty. Lisa, you got anything else to add to that?
Yes, ma'am. And just to add to that, before I do want to say shout out to Miss T Styles and Miss Sharice. If you guys didn't catch their publishing, they did a blog talk show on the publishing. They were dropping so many jewels, and I'm not an author or a publisher, but I listened, and I was like, oh, my goodness. And it wasn't things that you can just apply for writing or even publishing books. It was something that you could apply in just everyday business dealing. So they did drop some knowledge. So if you guys haven't listened to that, you might want to check out those archives. Also, we have a Trapper Alert. Nene Capri is in Charlotte. She is in Charlotte, North Carolina. She will be at Books a Million this Saturday, April the 12th, from 12 to 4. And the address to Books a Million is 14151 Steel Creek Road. And that's in Charlotte, North Carolina again. And just so you know, she will be doing an unveil of a special sneak peek. So if you are in the Charlotte area, please don't miss out. Holla at your girl. She's in town. Do you have anything to add, B?
Go to hair and makeup.
No, I'm not hair and makeup.
Hair and makeup.
No, I'm not hair and makeup. I'm good. I ain't got nothing to add. I just definitely want to shout out Nene Capri, the boss lady, and I hope that she traveled safely and got to where she was supposed to go so she can go out there and kill him on Saturday. Make sure y'all people out there in the Carolinas go see Nene Capri. And we are here holding it down. And it's almost time to bring in our first guest. So what I'm about to do is I'm going to go ahead and play this joint that my man requested. Oh, you want to read the bio first? Okay, read the bio first, and then we'll jump into the joint. Okay.
And then we're going to jump into his intro music that he has chosen. Now, actually, and it's funny because I actually read his book, the first one, and I was at work.
The Game Has No
Loyalty? Yes. We were actually, it was like we would just pass around books, you know, because we worked in a call center. And so I had got his book, and I was reading that. You know, everybody would just pass out different books, just pass it around the call center for everybody to read. So I actually read the first Game Has No Loyalty. So, and it was very good. So if you guys have not checked out his pen, I suggest you do because it is hot. Now, Joe Miller is a published author. He's a father, and now he is a publisher. Now, his love of writing was discovered in public school, where he dazzled the teachers with his creative short stories and intriguing poems. Oh, I didn't know he was a poet, too. All right. His writing was officially acknowledged locally when one of his stories was featured in the class yearbook. As June reached 15 years, he abandoned his love of writing for the dangerous life of the streets of Brooklyn. As some time passed and he was incarcerated and he got out and, you know, his relationships and basically his social, personal, or romantic relationships, they had became strained due to the nature of the business that he was doing. His lack of stability, despite the illusion of financial comfort, you know, that's really something that kind of people kind of think about on a regular basis. He was, you know, he was responsible for himself, so there was never any balance in his life until the birth of his first daughter, who changed the way he viewed his life, her life. June decided to make changes in his life, and he immediately enrolled into college, where he rediscovered his love of writing, showcasing his literary abilities that were recognized by his English professors. While pursuing his degree, tragedy struck, and one of his closest friends was brutally murdered. June began penning his novel, The Game Has No Loyalty, and incorporated his own experience into his writing to produce the realness his stories needed to capture for his audience. Now, The Game Has No Loyalty, an urban street fiction novel depicting the real life on the streets and the love relationships within those parameters. He went on to also follow that up with The Game Has No Loyalty 2, 3, Pain. Then he showcased his writing skills by penning Victimized, Buchanan's Secret, which is an urban suspense thriller. Okay. June is also the CEO of Foreshadow Publishing, where all of his titles are published. Now, this is the best part. He has a host of ebook short stories available for download and is currently working on releasing his first author's book, which happens to be his daughter. And her name is so beautiful. Her name is Harmony Miller. And her debut young adult fiction story titled Little Misunderstood will be released on April the 4th. So it looks like Little Misunderstood already hit the streets. So you guys want to get those one clicks popping and help Miss Harmony Miller bring in her new book with a bang.
Uh-huh.
Aaron, let's bring in Mr. Jill Miller.
Nah, we got to play the joint first.
All right.
As Nene would say, drop that beat, Aaron.
Yes.
Thank you.
Tribeca, right next to De Niro, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my ties, sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee, tell by my attitude that I most definitely from. I made the Yankee hat more famous than the Yankee king. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang of walking with my click though. Welcome to the melting pot, corners where we selling Africa been by the home of the hip-hop. Yellow cap, gypsy cap, dollar cap, holla back. For foreigners, it ain't fair, they act like they forgot how to act. 8 million stories out there in the naked city, it's a pity half of y'all won't make it. Me, I got a plug special, and I got it made. If Jesus paying LeBron, I'm paying Dwayne Wade. Three dice, Z-Lo, three card Marley. Labor Day parade, rest in peace, Bob Marley. Statue of Liberty, long live the World Trade, long live the King, yo. I'm from the Empire State. That's so they could step out of bounds quick. The sidelines is lined with casualties who sip to life casually, then gradually become worse. Don't fight the apple eve, caught up in the in crowd. Now you're in style, and the winter gets cold, in vogue with your skin out. City of sin, it's a pity on a whim. Good girls going bad, the city's filled with them. Mommy took a bus trip, now she got a bust out. Everybody ride her, just like a bus route. Hail Mary to the city, you're a virgin, and Jesus can't save you. Life starts when the church in. Came here for school, graduated to the highlight. Ball players, rap stars, addicted to the limelight. Empty and May got you feeling like a champion. The city never sleeps, better slip you an ambient.
Wow, I love that song, too.
Mm-hmm. I love it, too, especially living
Aaron,
in New York.
Yes, 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 I'm here.
Hey, June,
how
you doing?
What's good, June?
Brooklyn? Well, I love that intro, fam. Whoa, like, that was a crazy intro. I'm in here juiced up for real. I thought I was about to get run out on stage.
Nah, man. This is the truth, man.
What's up, Aaron? This is my dude. Salute to you, my dude. Hey, who am I speaking with? Is this Leisha?
Leisha and Tony.
I just thanks for the acceptance, the friend acceptance, Tony.
Oh, thank you.
What's good?
How's your week?
How's my week?
Yeah.
Oh, my week, it stay busy, you know. That's a great thing, though, you know, being busy. But, yeah, not overloaded or overwhelmed, but it's really good, though. I always use this word now. I don't ever say good morning. I say great morning because, you know, there's a lot of people that don't even get the chance to, like, get up and stretch their limbs. You take a lot of things for granted. So If every day you wake up and you can breathe and you got all your faculties about you, I think it's a great morning no matter what happens throughout the day.
You're absolutely right. Well, this is Tony. Once again, welcome to Writing Rossi. We're so excited to have you, and I am truly looking forward to getting to know you better, especially coming out of Brooklyn, New York. You can't go wrong with that.
Brooklyn? Oh, yes. Tony from Park Slope, June.
She's a far slope. Like, yo, you in the hood. What's good?
No, I'm not.
You're not even in New York?
So me, I live in Long Island.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, that's
I used to live in Brooklyn, though.
Yeah, it's a lot of people used to say that, too. I know.
See, I'm an Army brat, so I've been all over.
Oh, you're an Army brat. All right, so you traveled all over then, yeah.
Yeah. But Brooklyn's my heart.
Yeah, Brooklyn, my heart, too. Do or die, best style.
That's right. So you want to tell our listeners a little bit about your literary journey that Leisha hasn't touched upon?
Okay, my literary journey. My literary journey started out, I think, in 08 when I first wrote This Game Has No Loyalty. And I was picked up by this author, I like to say. I mean, in the beginning, it wasn't about money. It was just I wanted to be published. And the dude reached out to me. You know, he signed me and everything. I wasn't even thinking about the bread. But when he signed me, I was green. I didn't know anything about the industry. And put the paperbacks out, no promotion, no nothing. He just put it out there. And nothing happened, pretty much. So while I was with him, I picked his brain a little bit. And then I started to do my research, and I learned a lot about the publishing industry. And I bumped heads with, I believe I bumped into Quan first, and he was telling me, yo, you know, if this is your dream, you know, you got to, you know, put that work in and do your research or whatever. And I created my company, I think like a year and a half, 2 years later. And what one thing I never did was I never gave that first publisher the rights to my book. I always kept the copyright. So I was able to publish my book. I just changed the cover, just changed the background of the cover, and, you know, and I put it back out under me, and that was it. I started from there, and I ran with it. You know, it wasn't no e-books back then, so I was putting it in the bookstores on the tables in Brooklyn, on the vendors downtown, doing book signings, you know, and hitting that pavement, and in terms of some numbers.
Mm-hmm. That's the Avenue, Fulton Street, all those.
Okay,
gatherings.
You want to shout out? Now you're trying to shout out Avs. Now I thought you said you live. Where you say you live at? Park Slope?
No, that was people said that. But I know. No. I just know where I've seen the book tables.
Yeah. But that they starting to disappear.
Years.
You
yeah.
see how she still ain't tell you where she used to live, though, right?
Right. She still ain't said
she lives in
the
hood.
You see how she ducked right out of that? She's like,
though.
No, I ain't from Park Slope, but I can't tell you where I'm from.
No. I used to live in Crown Heights.
Where at on Crown Heights? Crown Heights is
huge.
Crown Heights is huge.
You said what? Crown Heights is big. You can just name a street. You ain't got to get no address.
Okay,
you
let me
name a street.
Brooklyn
Avenue.
Empire Boulevard.
Oh,
okay. Eastern
yes,
Parkway.
Yes, man. So, I live by day.
Yep. She
yeah.
like, yo, these is all the areas I used
day.
To stay the hell away from yeah. when I was in Crown Heights.
Yeah.
Empire.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all, it could be ganging up on my girl now.
Thank you, girl. Thank you, Leisha.
I got your back.
It's all right. It's all
even
right.
Even though
so
you danced
all,
around that question quite a few, you know, you did do
yeah.
a little dance around that.
I know. I
Yo, you
to
get Brooklyn love regardless, though. If you from the bubble, you get love regardless, man. We spread love the
spread
Brooklyn
love
way.
The Brooklyn way.
Yo, and that's the title of another joint under Foreshadow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we keeping it real out here.
Indeed, I seen that. That's real. And I see you out there moving them books. That's how I seen you doing this week. I see you out there moving them books.
Yeah, and that's another thing, as far as like with publishing is concerned. Like, a lot of people don't realize that ain't nothing wrong with ebook. You know what I'm saying? And I will always state this. I don't care nothing about 99 cent. I think 99 cent kind of messed the game up in one sense as far as quality. But as far as the hustle, 99 cent is a hustle, and a lot of people, I think, get it misconstrued. They think, oh, you put 99 cent out there. I don't care what you sell your book for, but if you're going to sell it, the content has to be consistent with everyone else. Like, it's supposed to be some type of format that everyone follows, and when you don't follow that format, you kind of misconstrue what these readers are now reading, and basically they throwing themselves into material that isn't helping them grow, you know, as far as readers. I mean, I always thought when you read, you were supposed to grow in some way, literally, you know, with the literature. But when it comes to hustling paperbacks, you have to know that ebook is not the only hustle. That you should also have a full novel in paperback, and you will get just as much exposure on the streets as you would on an ebook. You just have, it's a little bit harder work, I would say, but it's more personal and it's more real, because you get to interact with these people and they get to see you, they get to touch you, they get to actually have a conversation with you. And I believe that builds a better rapport with them. I mean, behind the screen is cool, but that one-on-one is, you know, to me, it speaks volumes, especially when the author actually takes the time and travels and goes and, you know, just show the readers that, listen, I'm not just behind a computer doing this. I mean, I want to come out and meet you, you know, at the same time and you know, write my name in your book on this paper and flip these pages on you, you know? Y'all lucky I ain't drinking, because I'll be cutting y'all up right now, because everybody's talking at the same time.
Now, what I was going to say is that I remember when I first met Nene, she was like my first author. She's one of my favorite authors. So when I actually met her in person, you know, it just made that connection more real. You know, she was a real person. She made me feel so at home. She took the time to talk to me about her books, you know, and it just felt like I got a new girlfriend. So
absolutely,
it is important, you know, when the authors and the readers come together, it just makes that bond
connection
a little bit stronger.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That connection is more real. I'm not going to throw no hammers at social media, but social media has actually taken over, you know, people's personalities. Like, people reinvent themselves on social media. And the one thing that I've always been since I can remember was real. Like, I stay one way. You on social media and you see me in person, that's the same dude. You're going to be like, wow, just what I thought is who you are. Because I don't change. I'm not going to be different. You say, oh, I thought he was this type of dude, and you know, he's obnoxious, or he's, you know, I'm be the same dude, man. If I kick it with you like I like normal on Facebook or Twitter, Instagram, it's going to be the same thing when you meet me in person, you know?
Uh-huh. Absolutely. And I definitely agree. You know, a lot of times people think Facebook is everything, but Facebook is just a tool, especially if you're a business. You know, and most authors, they're business people. You know, their publishers, that's just a tool to allow them to reach readers that they wouldn't normally be able to reach on a regular basis. And I think sometimes they take advantage of that, and they don't use it for what it's for. So I definitely agree with you. Now, we asked you about your literary journey. I wanted you to go in a little bit deeper, but you didn't. But that's okay.
You want me to go deeper? You want me to tell you
about...
Well, why don't
you get a little bit more specific?
Yeah,
so he could know right where you want him to walk him right up to the door. Walk him right up to the door.
I'm about to walk him right up to the door. Come on, Jill. Let's take a walk. Come on. So you have a book. You have a book that's getting ready to release in mid-2014. And it's going to be Your Sign to Al. Can you tell us about that process? How did you get signed with best-selling authors Ashley and Jaquavis, their new publishing company? How did that come into work?
Oh, I kind of like this story because how it happened was just like, this is something that I believe that people don't know. You, like, there's a saying, you don't know who's watching you when, you know, even when you're not, you know, you're not looking, you don't know who's watching you. And that even further goes into that social media thing. It's like how I handle myself on social media is like I'm not into no beef. You know, I don't get messy with things like that. It's just, it's ridiculous to me. But in essence, when I went to Harlem Book Fair, and me and Treasure Blue, we're good friends. You know, that's my homie. And me and Treasure, I saw Treasure up there, and we were walking around, and we was talking. And Ashley and Jacquavis, they were set up in a booth, I think, with Urban Books. And I walked over there, and I bought the book. I think it was Murder. If I'm not mistaken, I believe it was Murderville. I can't remember. It might not have been Murderville. I forgot what book it was. But when I seen Jacquavis, you know, I bought the book. And then Treasure was like, yo, you don't know who this is? And Jacquavis was like, who is it? He was like, it's just June Miller. And then Jacquavis looked, he said, this game has no loyalty? Oh, well, man, I heard a lot about that, blah, 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 blah. And then I was like, I looked at him like, really? You know, I was kind of blown away. I was like, you know about this book? And then he said, yo, I want to holler at you. You know, he said, you want to holler at me? And from there, that was it. You know, that introduction from Treasure. Had Treasure not said anything, he still probably wouldn't know who I was. Then I received a phone call, I believe like 6 months, maybe a couple months later. It was cold then, so it was a couple of months later. I received a phone call from him, and he, well, let me backtrack. I'm sorry. I received a text from Quan, and the text said, when opportunity knocks, will you open the door? I didn't know what it meant. And then got a phone call from Jacquavis, and, you know, from there it was history. He said, yo, heard good things about you. 10 games kind of tight. I got this new company, him and his wife, and, you know, we're trying to get some of the best writers out there. And he said, do you want to be on board? And, you know, I was sitting there shaking and smiling at the same time, saying, really, man? Like, just like that, you know, he was like, yeah, you know, go through the process of submitting, you know, your manuscript and all that. He said, but I already know, you know, what you do is fire. So, you know, I mean, it was a humbling experience for me right then. I was like, wow. And, you know, even here, me in Brooklyn, you know, I'm not a braggadocious dude. That's one of the things that I don't do. I'm so humble. I believe that. What's meant for me is going to come, so I don't have to really put it out there. But at the same time, I do want people to understand or people to know that that I was chosen, you know, based on my ability to write and nothing else. It had nothing to do with I know somebody or this person knew. That was strictly on merit. That was on my work, you know. He didn't know me personally. I never met him before. And so that's what humbled me more. So for another author of that magnitude to actually, you know, give you a head nod and say, hey, yo, I want to pull you in on something that I'm doing on a personal level, you know, it was just a humbling experience for me. And I want people to know that I am signed with Owl, but not in a braggadocious way. Just saying that, you know, that it's really an honor to be acknowledged, you know, by two of the best that's in this industry right now.
That's what's up.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
Real. Was that good?
That is so true. You know what? I'll take it.
You walked me to the door. Yes. You walked me to the door. You opened it, I ran through.
Now yes. Absolutely. You didn't take your shoes off or wipe your feet. You just went on in.
Nah, I don't do that. I'm from Brooklyn. We real respectful, you know what I'm saying? I'ma clean up after myself, but you know, I'm gonna keep my boots on though.
Oh,
they not muddy.
What's wrong with that?
It's concrete out here. I don't walk in mud.
It's all good.
Now the anthology you're gonna be releasing is gonna it's called Kiss the Ring.
Yeah, Kiss the Ring. Now,
tell us a little bit about it.
I think that was a great idea on their part, because what it does is showcases all the authors and their writing style, which means that that the Owl Camp is so diverse. I they had a vision. These are visionaries too. Ashley Jacquelles, they're visionaries, and the idea what they did was they said when they picked the authors, they handpicked them, you know, for specific reasons, and with that anthology, every author gets to showcase their writing skills. So it's not like a competition. Basically, it's an introduction to each author's writing. And everyone goes out there and, you know, they give their best, you know. And I think my story is it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it is. But I'm going to say that anyway. But it's some great. Now, another thing I just want to add, they have a crazy roster. You know, they got some vets. They got some vets, and then they got some new blood. And I just want to shout out Cian Phyllis because she's actually Antoinette's protege. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, I read her her book, The Last King, and yeah, she's young. I don't know how old she is, but I think she was the youngest. And I think Arielle is actually the youngest now. But seeing she does have a wicked pen game, and I'm not just saying that.
She does.
You know, the one thing about me is I'm real honest and sometimes brutally honest at times. But seeing she definitely has a wicked pen game. And just going deeper into the mindset of what Ashley Jacquelles is doing is that they're giving readers like a soup, you know what I'm saying? It's like goulash. It's a mixture of all kind of different authors with different writing styles. You got Jan Benjamin. Mm-hmm. You got Danielle. Danielle is a monster, you know.
Yeah,
she's a monster. I can't even front. I read her joints. And Treasure, you know, you brought Treasure in, and they doing the circle ship. It's crazy. You got JM, LaJill Hunt. I know everybody know LaJill.
Yeah.
You know, so you know they really what they did was to me is they pioneered something that I think is just is great because they mixing it up and they have a good squad. And not just because I'm on it, but even if I wasn't on it, I would have been like, yo, that's a good squad. I'm going to keep saying that, yo, because.
We already know you the man. I think I inboxed you the other day, and I told you
you
the man. So you don't have to keep saying that because we know it.
You think I'm the man?
I said you was the man, June Miller. Yeah. You didn't see that? See? You see how you did?
I don't know.
You're supposed to check your
messages
and say thank you.
You asked me in person before you say that. Say that Facebook thing, man. You be this fool gazy, man.
How do you balance everything? Because not only are you an author, you're a publisher, you're a dad, you're publishing your daughter. How do you balance all of that? Because that I would think that you would collide sometime in a lot of different things that you got to do.
Yeah, I'm a one-man company, and let me. It's only by the grace of God. Now the thing is this: I'm on a schedule. I'm on a strict schedule. I have a planner, and something goes off. Like my phone goes off every 2 hours. So if I'm doing something, I turn TVs off. I put my headphones on, and I concentrate and focus on whatever the task is at hand. That does not always work because, you know, during the course of the day, you might get phone calls and you're on Facebook and, you know, I multitask as well, but my focus is always the project on hand or whatever it is that I have to complete. And I give myself a time limit. And so that I stay on course with everything that I'm doing, my phone beeps, you know, it's a reminder. It'll be like, okay, your 2 hours is up. Now you need to start doing this. 2 hours is up. You need to do this, or your 15 minutes is up. So I don't get, pigeonholed into one thing and it takes too much time. Even if I'm not completed, I have to stop and say, you know, I have to come back another time, another day. But, and it's effective because I really do make my deadlines when I do things like that. So it's not easy, but you have to be dedicated and focused. And with my daughter book, it was my daughter lives in North Carolina. So we're doing this, you know, over the phone, and she's talking to me, and I'm, you know, I had her featured in the Sunday's paper in her town. I'm about to get her some news, get her on the news. We're going to do the book release. And, let me correct something. The book is not out. Yeah, it was April 4th was the release date. I had to push it back because I was looking for a venue in North Carolina. I found a venue. It's the actual release date is the 25th. The book release event is on the 25th, and the event is on the book release event is on the 26th, that Saturday.
Okay. And where the event is going to be at again?
Huh?
Hello?
What'd you say, Aaron?
Where's the event going to be at again?
Oh, yeah, in her town. She from Little Washington, North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for all y'all North Carolina people out there, y'all keep a lookout for that.
Yeah, it's going to be the Boys and Girls Club. I'm going to tell you what I do know. It's going to be flooded. That's where I used to be at. You know, that's my old life, but that's where I used to be at. And so it's a lot of love down there. I know the whole town. I was like, that was my spot, you know. So it's a lot of love. Everybody knows my daughter. A lot of new faces for me, but, you know, a lot of people down there, they know her and because of me.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah.
And I definitely want to congratulate you on that move because I was, like, definitely so happy when I seen it. I'm like, okay.
That's a whole nother
part of you growing again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, extended even further.
Yeah,
that's
and it's
crazy.
It's in the bloodline, B, because my thing is, you know, I remember being 16. Now, I remember everything that my daughter's going through. My daughter been through a little thing, you know, through something herself. And although I don't live there with her, you know, we have a great relationship. And I always told her to be a pioneer and anything that she does to be a boss. And she actually accomplished. I told her she followed my blueprint or she listens to her father. I don't have all the answers, but I have some of the answers. And I can guide her in a real positive direction away from what I was, you know, what I was subjected to when I was young. It's all about decision making, and you have to be accountable for your decisions or all the things that you do because of the consequences that come with it. You can't say, "Oh no, I don't want to do that," or "I don't want to deal with this," because, well, no. I told her, I said, "Listen, if you do it, I'm gonna give you just a little short story real quick." She did something, and my daughter got locked up. She did something in school. She got locked up. And I remember telling her a long time ago, I said, it's going to come a day, baby girl, when you do something, neither me nor your mother is going to be able to bail you out, and you're going to have to go with some guys that has on a uniform with some silver bracelets. That day came, and when she talked to me on the phone, she was crying. And I said, baby, remember that talk we had? I said, the day has come. Pay attention to what I'm telling you. And now coming out of that, she got mad because I told the family about it, you know, on my side of the family. And she said she was upset. Why did you do that? And I said, what you upset for? I said, when you know, she's an AB honor roll student. I said, I tell them when you make those A's and B's. So, well, I'm not supposed to tell them the bad?
Uh-huh.
You shouldn't have did it then. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't want me to talk about it, don't do it. Just don't do it because I'm telling. I'm going to talk about it. That's what I'm going to do.
Everybody
talk about
down.
It. Yeah, uh-huh. Everybody going to know, you know. This is what she did, y'all. Yeah. You know, but, you know, moving forward is that she's doing. She's a pioneer because she's actually the youngest African-American female author in her town. So that's the pioneering right there. I kept my word. Uh-huh. I said, listen, she pioneered. So no one can take that from you. You are the very first. Now, whoever follows behind you, which I'm so sure that they're going to be a lot of young authors coming up behind her because they're going to look and see and say, hey, I want to do that too. I can do that. I got a story. Kaboom, wow. There you go. And now you just opened up a different avenue for these young kids to want to aspire to be something positive instead of looking at what's on the block and what the new high is and what's popping on social media. You know, give them something else where they become self-sufficient and they can you know, ultimately become their own entrepreneurs, you know, make their own money. You know,
exactly.
Absolutely.
It goes right to the hustle.
But the boss lady want to holler at you, June Miller, real quick. She's touring. She's been kicked off her tour.
Okay,
she wants to holler at you.
Hey, everybody.
Nene?
Yes, what's going on?
What's good, boss lady?
Everything
How
is
you
good
doing?
Now. We got infamous June Miller in the clubhouse this evening.
Oh, man, here you go,
that's a secret. I had no idea that your pen had such magnitude to it until I met you at Quan's party. And you knew who I was, and then I was like, okay, well, what's your name? You was like, June Miller. I'm like, wait a minute. Some people think that it's a woman. They don't really know who it is behind
the
pen. But, you know, as I moved through the party and I was asking questions and stuff, they like, yo, he is serious with the pen. And then I had an opportunity to speak to you myself, and I also saw that you were a genuine individual. So I
Nene, that was a I'm going to tell you what I remember first when we were talking. And the funniest thing was I called out your book, and when you looked at me, and we were talking, and we was laughing and joking. And you came across to me as so real. Like, it's so many people that when you meet them, sometimes they have these different layers on, depending on who they come across. You didn't even know me, and you still embraced me, and that, out of anything, you know, I respect more than anything, because I shouldn't, even if a person doesn't know who you are, and then later to find out that, oh, well, yeah, he is like a factor or whatever, or, you know, you never, that never mattered to you. You were still genuine out the gate, and for that, I really respect you. That's my word.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. But you ain't making it hard for me because you had me cracking up. I said, this one here is a real pistol.
Yeah. No, we had a good time. I can't find
out. We did. But I thank you for coming out to the show. I'm out here on the road. I said I wanted to make sure I called in and show some love and some support. Watching you, you know, that hustle, that ultimate hustle. And I was listening to the show and I heard you speak. And out of everything that you said, the thing that struck me the most was how you impress these different things upon your daughter. And I think that regardless of any hustle or any game, our greatest hustle is nothing greater than raising our children, you know, so that next generation can be productive and then so that they can take over, you know, once we are done.
Absolutely.
You know, there's no hustle greater than that, and that's the whole game right there. At the end of the day, game over, you know, if you have left a good mark and a good impression and a good legacy behind for your children. So I appreciate you sharing your spirit with the show. I'm going to let y'all go ahead and keep going because my reception out here is horrible. I'm down here sitting in the Waffle House, honestly. This is ridiculous. But it's all good because Saturday I get to see the readers, and that's going to make up for everything. So
steak, egg, and cheese with some jelly, yo. Order that for me right now.
I ain't messing with y'all. Y'all doing a wonderful job. I miss everybody. I love you guys. Continue to have a good show, and I will catch y'all on the flip side. Thank you, June.
Thanks. It's an honor to be on here. I'm humbled. Thank you so much, Nene. And
thanks.
Knock them out. I already know what you're going to do.
I'm doing the best I can.
Absolutely.
Much
we don't call the boss lady for nothing.
Oh, Lord. All right. They bent my fedora on the way down here. Shoot, I'm tired. Y'all don't know.
Well, we're glad you made it safe. That's the important
yes.
thing.
Yes, thank you so much. And y'all continue to enjoy the show. Give Leo my love. I can't stay on because the reception is pitiful, but I had to at least come on and show some love. I'll catch up with y'all.
Okay.
All right.
Love you, boss lady.
Bye.
All right, Nene.
All right,
thanks.
Boss lady.
All right, I just want to ask one quick question of June real quick. With you being a publisher now and your daughter being your first author, Do you find yourself in the mentality of wanting to go harder for her as a publisher than you even go harder for yourself?
Absolutely, my G. I can tell you now, I can tell you one thing that I noticed in myself. I became a lion because every possible thing to make sure that this goes off without a hitch, I've done. And I questioned myself. I said, you know, damn, June, you don't do that for yourself, B. Like, you taking this, like, I'm putting her, you know, I'm reaching out to the media down in North Carolina. I'm spreading the word. I'm trying to spread the word far and wide. And, you know, my hustle for her is maybe 10 times harder than what I do for myself, maybe because my expectations for myself are more realistic and goal-based towards what I'm doing. And I say, hey, I got time. But to do this for her, I want to make such a great impression on her and not fail so that she can say, hey, you know what? This is something that I can pursue. Not as a career. You know, if she chose it as a career, that's fine. But she can use it as something that she can do amidst of her, you know, going to college and starting her own career, you know. And knowing that, you know, all the work that I put behind it and all the things that I've done, that she could say, well, you know what, my father really went all out for me. So my next move would be to go as hard as he did for me. Because in anything that I do, I'm really a perfectionist. I try to be, which is nothing, no one's perfect, but I try to be a perfectionist because I believe in professionalism. You know, out the door, you know, out the gate. I want professionalism. When people read my books, I want them to be like, yo, anything coming out for Foreshadow got to be hard. I personally read her story. Again, just because it's my daughter, yeah, of course I'm going to say it's good, but I let other people read it and never told them that my daughter wrote it, and they was like, yo, who wrote that? And they was like, yo, this is really good. And I was like, yo, that's my daughter, kid. They was like, fuck out of here. And I was like, yeah. So that right there, without them knowing who she was prior, so they could be like, yeah, I'm going to say yeah because it's your daughter. I was like, yo, read this. Somebody gave me this. And they read it. They was like, yo, son, yeah, that's that. It is good. I'm not going to say it's great, but it's definitely good. And it's going to be worth, you know, it's going to be worth it for her and all those that surround her, you know. So my hustle for her, definitely, Aaron, yeah, just what you were saying, yeah, it's tremendous when it comes to her. I mean, I went completely harder than I've ever went for myself with her, and I'm happy about it. You know, I'm really thankful that I was able to even come to this point. I mean, after the 26, we gonna see what happens. We gonna see if all this was not, you know, for naught.
Can I
just shout somebody out real fast? I want to shout out my angels. I want to shout my angels out, June's angels. My angels in the haven. They know who they are. Jessica, Kitty, my people, Athea. Who else? Who else out here? Sandy. I'm corny, right? Yeah. Latoya.
Tampika.
All right, that's it. I shout y'all out.
Okay. Listen, we about to bring in Leo. Stay on the line, June. Yes. Who got Leo bio?
I have it.
Okay.
Leo Sullivan is a versatile writer, with urban fiction being one of the many genres that he enjoys. In 2005, Leo, from a federal prison cell, signed to Triple Crown Productions and took the urban literary world by storm with his mega-hit debut novel, Life Without Hope. It has sold over 100,000 copies to date. That's a lot of reading in there. It is still considered an urban street classic. His follow-up novel, Dangerous, has been featured in such magazines as Essence, Don Viva, King. Those are just to name a few. He has also written other best-selling novels, such as Innocent, which is my introduction to Leo Sullivan, and his sequel, Innocent Forever, as well as In This Life for Adult and Teenage Versions. In 2011, upon his release from prison, Leo started his own company, Sullivan Productions, LLC, Films and Literary. He decided to enter the movie industry after writing several screenplays and working with independent movie studios and producers. One of the producers in particular is William Packer. Leo's most recent releases are Innocence Revenge, Innocence Revenge 2, and 24 Carats, with authors Blake Carrington and David Weaver. Leo is currently attending college studying film. Vivo, you want to bring in the great Leo Sullivan?
We got to get his intro music.
Yes,
we're going to
drop this beat first, and then we're going to bring Leo in.
Okay.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, Leo.
Leo Sullivan, how are you doing?
Is he with us?
Yes, he's on.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Okay, my reception is probably a little bit messed up, so my phone has been acting up a little bit today, though. But it's a pleasure to be on the show, and I'm very honored. Thank you so much.
Good,
also, I need to change that bio. I didn't know that bio was that old. That was ridiculously old. So a lot of things have changed since then, I assure you. So we got to change that bio.
What's up, Leo? Don't
hey, man, man. What's up, man, people?
What's
up, doing,
baby?
Brother?
How you?
I'm doing great, man. Fabulous. Let's see here.
I'm trying to get up your way shortly.
Okay, well, holler at me, my brother. You know I got you, man.
We got the talented June Miller on the line as well.
Yeah. Hey, peace and blessings, my brother June. I've heard some great things about your work, man.
Yeah, well, you know, I know the same, but bro, I done read you, so I'm good. I already know innocent. I done read you, so yeah, I read
you. Animal with the pen.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Yo, you know what? I want to ask you something, Leo, man. Because last time I asked you about this, you was like, I don't know if you was surprised I knew about the joint or if you was just caught off guard. What's up with the Dirty South joint?
That's a long story. You talking about as in the drink?
I'm talking about the book. Like the book was crazy.
Oh, I'm trying to think. Man, I wrote so many books.
This joint was way back, man, when you was on the I Don't Even Want to Call the Spot. You know what I'm talking about.
And it was the Dirty South. Boy, now I had to rake my brain.
It was
up
the
right
joint, there. Man. The young boy, man. He was real keen about them, like being in the swamps and shit, and you know, like they was out in the country. Like it was some real. It was
oh,
crazy.
I think that might have been. Sounds like part of the Innocent series. One of those Innocent series.
Oh, okay. You must have changed the name. I ain't even know, because I'm like, yo, where is this joint? Yeah, I'm like, where this joint at? Like, because I knew I had read it. It was crazy, and then I never seen it again.
Yeah, you know, fortunately, once I got my copyrights back from Ms. Stringer, a lot of things had to be, for copyright purposes, I had changed some titles and stuff like that. Back to their original titles, because when I came home, since I wasn't receiving royalties, and by me being a street dude, I just kind of bogarted a lot of my titles and put them back up. You know what I'm saying? Because I was trying to eat. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I could dig it.
And then when I did win my copyrights back in court, I had to go back and reconform some of the titles and stuff like that and get everything back in order, which it did cause a problem because I was looking at a reviewer today, and they were hot about the title Life Without Hope. But the reason why I had titled it that, I changed the title when I got out and took my book back from her. But to some fans, it looks as though, you know, because you do got people who do that, they thirsty, and they'll take the same book and change the title to try to resell the same book again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, indeed. Uh-huh.
That was not my intent, you know. But well, other than that, though, it's a pleasure to have be on the phone with y'all, man. I mean, it really is. I'm honored.
We're honored to have you.
Yes, we are. Leo, this is Tony. Welcome again. I was looking forward to having you on. But since the bio that I did read of you is a little bit outdated, would you like to give our listeners a little bit of your literary journey, please?
Okay, well, actually, I'm still very much involved in my writing. I think that, you know, that's like paramount in terms of, you know, that's a passion. You're always going to, you know, be creative and just, you know, do what you love. But also, I'm fortunate enough to have, you know, started my own publishing company. Well, should I say, my publishing company has proliferated to such a degree that a degree that I was, you know, I was able to publish some books, and they did fairly well. So that's been my journey right now, and it's really truly been a labor of love, you know, working with authors, especially the young authors, because the industry is really, really changed so much. It's a challenge, you know. But and also, I'm working with publishing, and I'm also trying to get a movie off the ground. And that's a whole nother story by itself. But, you know, I just stay positive and focused, you know. And the key to our success a lot of times is what we're doing right now. It's the old-fashioned way, you know, like networking and working with each other. So that's what I've been doing basically, you know.
Well, I just like to say that your team is just saturated with such young, great talent, and I really enjoy the books coming out of your camp. You know, Nika Michelle, Cheyenne, just to name a few. So you have some great talent there with you. And
that's a blessing from God, too, as well, because I'm really fortunate that in a lot of ways, it's kind of ironic, but, you know, still sharpening steel. And to say that is, they sort of like adopted my personality. You know, I do have a couple of people who are outspoken, which is great because you never want to take the true essence of what a person is in terms of the caliber of being they are. But overall, what I mean by adopting my personality, I've adopted to them as well, is just not being, you know, with a lot of bullshit, you know, getting caught up in a whole lot, excuse my language, with just a lot of, you know, backbiting and, you know, just getting caught up in situations and, you know, in confrontational situations. Because, you know, I have so much love for this business, you know, and for Urban Lit that I feel like it's desecration. You know, I feel like it's just blatant disrespect, you know, to expose the fans, you know, the people who support us, you know. I don't tolerate it, you know what I'm saying? And I don't want my authors to do that, and I want them to just to put out good quality work. And I'm still learning, I'm still growing, you know, but I did learn a lot within the last decade, I will say that. So, you know, it helps a lot, you know, the way the industry has changed right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I'm just going to throw this out here, because I think it was last week Aaron said that they needed a new pen showdown, and I'm just throwing out these two names right here, people, to add to you and Cash's list to have a pen battle for the next battle book. I think that's going to be a very hot read. I'm just saying.
You said Cash and Bebo?
Oh, you said, hold on. Oh, what you saying, June and Leo next?
Yeah, that's going to be hot. Yes, I'm
you
saying June
and
Leo
on
the next battle book.
Hold on. I didn't hear that.
Uh-oh.
Hold on. Can I say something real quick? Let me just say something real quick. Let me say something real quick before
don't
before y'all go.
Don't.
Hey, Aaron, I want to,
yes.
I think that thing you're doing with Cash is a real great thing because it shows that hold on I'm hearing an echo, yo.
Yeah, that's you.
Yeah, somebody got a radio or a computer on.
Hello?
Not me.
Yeah.
Okay,
now I don't hear no more.
Okay,
that might have been me.
Nah, but what I was saying is that was a real good. No, I still hear it, yo.
Yeah, that is a party joint.
It was not mine.
Somebody's too close to their computer.
Did it just start?
Yeah.
It just started.
Yeah,
when
it just started.
Oh, I can't hear it, but it's not over here.
Yeah, and it ain't in Brooklyn, yo. We going to start this phones tapped and all this again, yo. Come on, now I can't talk.
The feds is listening.
New York.
Okay, well,
yeah,
hopefully it's
listening.
Not in Florida.
Yeah. Nah. But let me just say it real quick. I think that what you and Cash doing is one of the greatest things that could be done for Urban Lit right now. Because it shows that all that off the beat could be handled in the ring, just the way y'all doing it. I love that. I thought that was such a great idea. I like the back and forth and all that. Yo, but this echo is blowing me right now, yo.
Yeah.
I think I hear it a little bit, too.
I definitely appreciate you, June. You're right. It was a great idea. It's definitely gonna enhance the industry, hopefully, and get people off the beef and get back to the reading.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, when I first saw it, I was concerned because y'all were joking with each other, and I was like, "Oh man, they beefing," you know. And I'm serious. When I first saw
me too. I swear, I did too.
I was like, "Oh man, they going at it. That ain't a good look." You know what I'm saying? And then I noticed that you all were actually, it was done in fun, and I thought that was like so beautiful. You know, anytime my brothers come together in unity and do something positive like that, I mean, especially in the way our plight is right now in this industry that's hemorrhaging, you know, I thought that was great. You know, I applaud y'all for that. You know, anytime y'all come together and do something, man, that's what we miss in the traditional things from back in the day, you know. So
yeah,
I like it. I mean, I don't see anything against it, you know.
It is a lot of fun. We used to have fun on Beat Down Bebop Wednesdays.
Man, I laugh so hard on Facebook. Yeah.
That was our favorite day of the week, Beat Bebop Down.
Yes, we had so much fun. It was all in fun, though.
Yeah,
I was just taking it. I curled up, let y'all get tired. Yeah. Now I'm back.
Hey, Bebo, I want you to know, my brother, I really, really am proud of you too, man, because I see your whole, you know, what you're doing now. And a lot of times, you know, especially because something that's happening in the industry right now, and people may not notice it, but it's extremely hard. It's more difficult now for Black men and even in urban lit to publish, because it's a chick orientated industry right now. And when I first came in, it was, you know, Quan and Dutch and, you know what I'm saying, and all of it was like, it was a male dominated industry, you know. So now when I'm seeing for brothers in the industry, it's a little bit more harder, you know. So
absolutely,
brothers, you know, there's another guy, I'm trying to think of his name. I can't think of it right offhand, but he keeps writing consistently, and that's the key to your survival. You know, you just have to stay relevant. You have to keep writing, you know, and it may not be that book or it may not be that next book, but if you just, you know, steadfast and stay in it, one of those books is going to blow, and then that's going to give life to the other books that you had wrote prior to then, and they'll come back up, and, you know, and you'll reap the rewards of it. So, but it's really hard for the males in urban lit right now. For some reason, you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know what? Let me ask you something, Leo. Do you think like with the new authors coming in, the content, not so much the storyline and everything, the content, the way they put it out there. No editing, no format.
Oh yeah.
Is that contributes to because to me when I
that
think
does,
about it, I
no
think
it
about
does it. It does it does and then they're caught between a rock and a hard place because you know philosophically you're supposed to be able to write what you want, you know, what you love and just follow your passion.
Right.
But the reality is this is a business.
Right.
And if you're trying to eat and survive in this business, you need to study this business and find out what is selling. Now, if you are a true writer in its true essence, then you should be able to write that. You know, and it's like I say, it's a rock and a hard place for some, you know, because some of my authors will be like, but I don't want to write that. And, you know, and I'm like, dude, whatever you want to write, you can pretty much write, but I'm not going to publish it because I know it's not going to sell. And it's unfortunate, but that's what it is. But as you were saying, my brother, as well, the subpar writing and the people who come into this industry and it's like a quick buck and they don't
right.
even take the time out, you know, to have their books edited. And don't be ashamed to let somebody critique your shit. I'm sorry,
right.
critique your work. You know
you, ain't got, you ain't got to excuse your language because this urban fiction
okay.
with that.
But that's
right.
what haters are for. That's what haters are for. Let the hater, if a hater tell you your work is good, you want to agree. They serve a purpose too. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I try. You try to utilize all that, but, you know, it's where the industry is right now. It's really being dumbed down.
Boy, that's my favorite word.
Yeah, it's really been exploited right now. I'm hoping this is just a trend. It won't last too long, but I don't know, because it's not just affecting literary, urban lit. It's affecting a lot of the music as well. So in entertainment, you know.
Social interaction on a whole, because you can't get no digestive time anytime for anything. You know what I mean? Ain't no digestive time. Like, as soon as you get it, you're done. Ain't nobody being well fed no more. The news is getting reported on camera phones.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no anticipation for life no more. So it's like a quick evaluation.
It is. Right. The thing about technology, what people don't realize, is it also desensitizes a lot of, you know, things.
Absolutely.
You know, purists, mm-hmm. the things that were just that were passionate to us, you know, when you could just read something like, damn, that was nice. Oh, we helped that sister and that brother came and they got off that, you know, and they went on to a journey and, you know, and they were successful versus, you know, you writing something that you glamorize and something and everything is materialistic and, you know, there's no, you know, the love that was there.
Substance. Yeah.
You know, so. And I'll be honest with you. You know, I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, but I've had to do it myself, you know, dummy down my writing.
People
would tell me, oh, man, I don't want to hear about the Black Panther movie. I don't want to hear about, I could talk about Sister Soldier, Sada Shakur, you know, or revolutionaries, or what, you know, COINTELPRO, and, you know, just try to sneak it in there, you know, you will get people would lash out and be like, oh, he's a racist. He's talking about racism. I'm talking about, man, us as a people and us being united, you know, us getting back to where we once were, you know, and it's like some people would just find it so offensive that I was like, okay, Leo, we need to step back. You can still ease it in there, but you're going to have to, like, somebody said spoon feed them. Well, you're trying to, like, spoon feed them. Like, you know, with life, I could go, and that was, like, one of my first books, but that was the book that I was kind of, like, able to, you know, to talk about our plight as people and racism and ease it in there, you know, how they lock all the niggas up in the cell and, you know, and AIDS, our AIDS epidemic and our women, you know, suffering disproportionation. Damn, I just killed that word. But, you know, just situations like that. And I couldn't dare do that now, you know?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You know what, too, Leo? Just from you, I mean, I've read you, so uh-huh. Your presentation of words is crazy. Like, you're very, very nice with what you do. And
you are too, my brother. You are too.
I appreciate that. Thank you. But just even your presentation is so crazy. Like, people can't. A dumb person can't really just pick up your book and read it because it's street lit. I mean, not saying that they won't be able to follow it, but I don't think that they'll be able to get the full comprehensive meaning of what you really put out there unless they have some type of sense, because of the way that you articulate your language inside your words. Like, it's crazy. And I'm seeing more and more that readers aren't reaching for substance like that because it bores them. Like, what? I don't want to read this.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate.
It's too deep.
Right, it's unfortunate. You know, it really is unfortunate. And I hate to, you know, even to admit that you know, I had to, like, dummy down just to stay relevant, you know. I mean, it's unfortunate. And I study the market, and, like, a lot of the best-selling books come out, I read those, and I hope that maybe, you know, it may change, and someone might just put out something that's so profound that it will, you know, because all it takes is a spark to start a fire. So, and it may start that fire again in our whole mentality and get us back to where we, you know, we could write urban lit and keep it gangster, but keep it conscious and also keep it wholesome, you know what I'm saying, where there's a good story, you know, because people don't
Hello?
In the subplot.
I think we might have lost Leo.
No, he there.
Can you hear me?
We got we got Leo.
Hello,
yeah.
Leo.
We still have
Hello?
June.
Hello.
Do we have June?
Yeah, we both. They both on the line. I brought June back in. I seen his call drop. I'm all over it.
Because I was I was trying to get the echo out.
Is the echo still there?
On me?
Yeah, it's still there. But I have a quick question. I have a question for Leo.
Yeah.
This is Tony, Leo.
Hey, Tony.
Hey.
Hey, baby. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well out of Brooklyn. How's that, Bebo?
Oh, man. Here we go.
I hate you. But my question is, you know, I just finished reading the Billionaire's Thief, and I just started part two today. Now, what made you take that turn into that genre?
Glad you asked me that. The reason why I attempted that genre right there, because even to this day, I was like, you know, steadfast on trying to escape urban lit. Because I feel as real writers, you are versatile writers. You should be able to write anything. And I tell, you know, my authors that, you know what I'm talking about. So there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to do film, or there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to do, you know, certain other genres. And unfortunately, I put that book out at the time where I had just came home and my finances were in a bad situation. And I couldn't continue to try to strive in that market, because the European market is a much more broader market if you can cross over. You know what I'm saying? So the erotica with the multifaceted, you know, black and white is a way better lucrative market in terms of exposure, you know. But the key to that is you just have to be able to write. And that book didn't, I mean, they liked it, they loved it, but everybody was like, man, that ain't innocent. No, that ain't dangerous. That ain't gangster, bitch. So,
That's true, because I went into that book knowing your previous writing, expecting something. It was like, okay, this is not what I expected, but, you know, I never start something and not finish it, but I enjoyed it, and I'm in middle part.
Yeah,
the
main protagonist is a white woman, so, I enjoyed immensely writing that project, and I also enlisted one of my co-authors, Cheyenne, in the part two. So she did that with me. But like I said, the same token, sometimes you have to try. You have to dare yourself to think outside the literary box. And I know in the near future I would attempt a feat like that again, you know, at my luxury. You know, that's why I tell people sometimes when they're trying to get on and they want to try to be multifaceted and stuff like that, that's cool. But some things you want to do at your luxury, especially if you're trying to eat, you know what I'm saying? So if you're trying to eat and you attempt to do something, you attempt to enter a market that you are unknown of, you know, it's not going to be the first book, because, like I said earlier, it may take multiple books to beat on that wall and finally knock a hole in it and get in, you know?
But I do want to say something for you, Leo, because you said made a comment that you had to dummy down some of your writing a little bit just to stay relevant. I don't really see what you do as dummy down, only because of the way you write. And see, a lot of times, true fans, it doesn't matter if you decide to write success tomorrow. Your true fans will evolve with your pen. Wherever your pen goes, they will go with you. So even if you change it up,
and
you do something different.
And I had to tell you, I had to say, this is really going to start a firestorm, what I'm going to say. What I'm going to say is probably people, and it's good because we can all disagree to disagree. So, but you have the people who read books and paperback, and you have this new culture of e-book readers.
Kaboom.
And they are different. Mm-hmm. And I know you don't believe that, but
Kaboom.
They are two
Kaboom.
Different sectors. And honest to God, truth. Now, my paperback readers, they'll love it. They'll buy, support me. But this new generation of this whole culture of e-book readers, they are different. And I'm telling you, they are totally different. And you have to sit down and put their ass on the microscope, you know, just to deal with them. You know, I mean, it's a total different entity. And I know that sounds crazy, but, I mean, it is. That's why you see a lot of us veterans, we could probably sell the hell out of some paperback books, but some of us could put on those e-books out there. And these little e-book people, they're picky. 99 cents, you give them a whole book, and they just, you know, it's a problem with it. It was too short. They didn't, you know, their whole mindset is a little bit different. And I know it sounds far-fetched,
it's because
but
you know what that is, Leo? You're dead right. Well, you're 100% right. You know what it is? The access.
Right.
Feel
me? It's the access.
It's not only the access to the books, but it's also the access to the author. Like, they just seen you. Just talked to you 5 minutes ago on Facebook.
Right.
So, no, I'm serious. Like, I'm like real talk. Like,
right.
The access to it is crazy. So when they see buy my book all day, or they see buy my
right.
book, it's like,
right.
all right, I'll get it later, or I won't
right.
get it. Or if
right.
it's people talking about it in the places I'm spending most of my time, which is where social media, I need to fit in. If they're talking
right.
about this book, I'm about to get it right now so I can fit into this conversation. If not,
right.
I'll do it, what, at my luxury. Like, you're talking about writing those kind of books at your luxury, even though
right.
it's not that kind of book.
Right.
You feel me? Like,
no,
yeah, it's the access. The literature came unchanged. The access made it to the point now where the readers really basically, like, the director of the film for the author. Like, yo, you should be releasing your book like this. Your price should
yeah.
be this. Yo, I don't like
yeah.
books like this.
You know what?
So, all you got to do is look on Facebook. You see it. You see readers
come
on. You never,
culture.
And Leo, you know I'm not lying. You never seen nothing like that on Coast to Coast. You never seen nothing like that on Coast to Coast. Readers was
right.
in line, yo.
They were, yeah.
Because they knew
you know
there wasn't no access to authors like that. Like, what they start playing, like, yo, we'll just disappear. Like, yo, we
right,
out
but
here.
You know what, though? You know what I think it is, too, though? And not to take off of that, but you know what I think it is? What Leo was saying, he says the new readers. And what you got to realize is that with the ebook, majority of these new readers only have ebooks. They're not going to get a paperback. So they don't know what to expect. They don't know what to expect from
a
paperback. They don't know that you're supposed to get 75,000 words or 80,000 words to make a full novel. What they want is something that's going to, like, give me action all the way through with no fluff in the middle.
Right.
They don't want the whole package. So these new readers, they're young, and they don't understand. Like, so when you get a – that's why when I was talking to you earlier, Leo, what I was asking was saying that with the content is that even with the new authors don't know the process of a complete story.
Right.
Because if they did, then they would be like, listen, I'm not going to give this 99 – I can't sell it for 99 cents because
right.
it ain't take me 30 days to write this. It take me 2 weeks. If it take you 2 weeks to write it and you throw it out there and there's no editing and there's no format and there's no story, no real strong storyline, they like, okay, cool, let me get that. And now you got these new readers that got a Kindle and they're like, what should I read? They say, oh, read this. This is new. It's 99 cents. Get that. So now they don't have nothing to compare it to. They don't have a Leo Sullivan book that was in paperback to compare it to.
My brother, you hit it right on the head. And it sounds far-fetched to even say that.
It's a new generation, B. That's all it is.
I mean, you have a culture of people who, young people who actually, all they know is reading books on their Kindle or their phone or their little apparatuses and stuff like that. And they haven't had that wholesome experience of, you know, or they're not into that wholesome experience of, like, coming up with a good book, you know, and
right.
just really getting into a 70,000-word book and knowing this is the etiquette or this is the whole, you know, process of writing or the reading experience.
Right.
You know?
It's supposed to be, and that's exactly what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be an experience. And the thing what I'm saying is that because it's urban fiction, a lot of people, and this is that word I always use. I tell readers, don't dumb down your reading, man. I said to anything. That's why I was saying, when you read a book, I always thought that you're supposed to learn something. I always thought that it was supposed to be a new word in there that you had to go look up to say, what does this word mean? But now that when you're reading words that we speak, like the way we speak right now is how books are being written.
Word to mother, yo.
You feel me? And that's exactly it. The dialogue is her culture. You know what I mean? It's like
the narrative.
I was
just telling somebody. I understand we change and we evolve, so you can get away with it because to a tad bit, but your narration should be sounding like your dialogue.
Word to mother.
I say that all the time.
Your people is writing books right now. The younger generation that haven't taken the time and really have a love and passion for reading and writing, and the ones who are just really just doing this because everybody's an author now, they are they really writing books like they talking to their homeboy on the corner because they're and the reason why they doing that is because they don't understand that they only writing for one audience. The only person who can understand that is your homeboy on the corner.
Right.
The person
right.
up in the apartment down the hall from you can't even understand it because they pass by you and your homeboy every day pulling their purse closer to them. They're not trying to understand y'all. So when you writing these books like that, nobody's understanding it but the people that's stuck in you or the other people, these older people, I call them the readers and the ones who be, like, stuck on that and can't see that there's no substance. Those be the people that just be trying to steal people's youth. Like, real
right.
talk like that. For real, they be like, yo, I need to stay in with the younger crowd, so I'm not going to tell them any better because if I do, they're going to bash me and ridicule me. If I tell them, hey, this ain't good, like this, then they're going to get bashed and ridiculed. And I witnessed it. So they be scared.
But you know what? In defense of the readers, I'm, and you know, y'all might get upset. I'm just saying, I'm about to throw this out here. Sometimes, when we're reading the books, sometimes some authors use words too often, the large words too often, and sometimes it throws off your reading because it's like you're reading in just the way they speak, and then all of a sudden they have this big 50 million large words. Sometimes those big words throw your readers off as far as the flow of the read because they're trying to visualize what it is that you've put on paper and that you're trying to express, and they're trying to get all those feelings in at the same time. And a lot of times I'm going to say that I think it's because we don't understand the process of what writers go through as far as putting together a book and what it takes. We just, you know, before I got hooked up with Nene Capri, I was
like,
I just thought they just drop a book. Well, what's taking so long? Why it takes so long to drop a book? Well, they should have been writing it, you know, but I didn't understand the process, but now I understand the process. I know how many words go in a book. I know, you know, the editing, what the editing entails. It's not just somebody reading. It's like line for line, you know, and I think that's what it is. A lot of times we as readers don't understand what your process is when it comes to actually putting out not just any old kind of book, but a banger. A five-star book, something that gives us bookitis. That's my favorite word, bookitis. You know, those books, they require so much attention, and there's a long process for it. But, see, we don't see the process. We just see the end result. And a lot of times we just don't understand the in-between because we don't see it. So just to put that out there, sometimes I don't think it's that we don't – you authors may think that we don't appreciate the hard work that they do, but we really do. A lot of times we don't understand the process that it takes for you to put these things together, for you to give us a book that gives us bookitis, or, you know, has us on the edge of our seat, keeps knots in our stomach. You know, those books have a particular way they need to be written.
Exactly.
But we do we got 50 million hands raised, y'all. Y'all done said all of that. Y'all got readers upset. They want y'all.
All right, we're gonna, I'm going to take caller, because this caller been holding the longest. I'm going to take 803-290. Good evening. You are live with the Writing Royalty crew and June Miller and Leo Sullivan. Who are we speaking with?
Hello?
Hey.
Welcome to the clubhouse.
It's really
welcome to the clubhouse.
What's your name and where you calling from?
Audrey, South Carolina. She don't want to talk to us. She just want to talk to Leah. Yo, Leah, go ahead, man. This one's for you, baby.
Right.
Yeah, she brushed us crazy. Like, yeah. Go ahead, Leah. This is for you, baby.
Leo, what's poppin'?
Hey, sweetheart. How you doing?
I'm fine. This is Tasha Shimek now. Get right.
Pardon me?
This is Tasha Shimek.
Hey. Oh, wait. What's up, sweetheart? It's good to hear your voice. To put a name with a voice. How are you doing tonight, sweetheart?
I don't know. Probably read something. I don't know.
But did you have a question?
Did you
have a question for Leo? Did you have a question for Leo? Did you just want to say hey to
him? I just wanted to tell him and June hey.
Hey, what's up, South Carolina? In the building.
You sound like Andrew.
I sound like who?
Andrew.
Because we from Brooklyn.
I think they from the same area. Right,
yeah. We from New York. That's why we got that same lingo. That's a good, that's a compliment, too. You sound like you from South Carolina, though.
I am, yeah.
But thank you so much for calling and enjoying the show.
Thank you for calling, sweetheart. I appreciate
yes.
it.
Thanks for reaching out.
Our next caller. I'm all over it. I see it. Our next caller is 937-313. You are live with the Writing Royalty Crew.
Hello?
Good evening. Who are we speaking with? Yes, it's you. You
Hello?
Live.
Hey, what's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Stacey Leonard.
Hey, Stacey, how you
Leonard,
doing?
What's good?
Hey,
how
hi.
Hey,
Stacey. So you're excited to hear from me.
Yes, we always excited.
Hi, Stacey.
Hey, who is that?
Hi, Stacey Leonard.
Who is that?
This is June, y'all.
Hi. You, no, that was somebody trying to sound sexy. I think, is that you, Leo?
No, it wasn't me.
Oh, shit. Yeah, wait a minute. Hold on. That was me,
y'all. Trying to sound sexy.
Somebody was trying to sound sexy. They was like, hi,
uh-oh.
I said, hey, Stacey, that's how I talk.
Yeah. I think that was your kind of sexy right there. That might have been your kind of sexy.
Yeah, that was no. You changed that up, June. That was something. You put a little extra on that.
You
did. Put a little extra
Maybe
on
I
that.
Liked her name. Maybe I liked her name.
All right.
Stacey. All right.
Did
you
have
a
question, Stacey, for June?
Hi, June.
What's up?
I've only heard of you through. A lot of your, I guess I should say, author friends, you know, because they posted about your book coming out and everything. I haven't read any of your books. I won't lie. I haven't read any of your books.
That's fine.
But
you will, though.
You going to let me speak?
Mm-hmm.
You
I'm sorry.
Speak for me.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I accept your apology. But the way you presented it, because I'm a very, very avid reader. Like,
mm-hmm.
I read. But the way you present it, yourself, and you know that makes me want to go out and say, "Hey, I want to, you know, go buy one of his books and you know read and see how it is."
See, I like that, and I appreciate that. I really do.
Yeah, well, because you're not coming out pushy.
I'm not pushy.
You know, I've had some authors on Facebook try to be real pushy, something like that. I'm one of the old
She talk about
readers.
Me,
like
y'all.
That.
She talk about me.
Well, I'm not a pushy dude. You know, I stay in my lane.
I'm one of the old school readers. Should I call myself that?
So you can appreciate the one-on-one, that personal touch, that connection. That's what you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like the paperbacks.
That's
right. Like the paperbacks. I mean, like
I got
get
that
the,
too.
Don't get me wrong. I get the Kindles and all that. That's fine. They on my phone. I ain't gonna even tell you how long it's gonna take me to read them. But I like the paperback because
I
can read them again.
You definitely
my
too.
Phone,
bend them up.
I switch phones.
Fold them over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I can appreciate
exactly.
that. Yeah, you should.
And then Leo. Mr. Sullivan.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
I'm fine. I'm fine. You should know me. I'm one of your Facebook friends too.
I do.
I know. I say good morning as often as I see you on a hey, good morning.
I know.
Let me say my famous phrase that I tell all my authors: have a blessed, positive, and productive day.
True. That's the great mentality.
I want to tell y'all, thank y'all for sharing y'all talent with the world. You know, your God-given talent, you can take it and not share it with us and keep it to yourself and be selfish, but y'all choose to share it with us. So as a reader, I want to say thank you.
And we thank you for supporting
us. We really
us.
Thank you for that, too. Yeah, that's real big. And,
thank
and
you.
That's what keeps us writing, believe it or not. Just hearing things like that, I know that's what energizes me and keeps me going. You know, just having that one reader that really appreciates good writing.
Yeah, and also she had something else she wanted to tell you too, Drew. I don't know why she ain't say it yet, because she was saying to me she wanted to tell me that you forgot
Keisha
Irwin.
Wait, let me tell it. Let her tell it? You know,
because she
you
was forgetting.
Go ahead.
Keisha. You didn't say Keisha Irvin.
I didn't say Keisha Irvin what?
Yeah, isn't she on there with
Angel,
you all?
Angel.
Is she a June Angel?
No. She is on the thing with your Quavis.
I'm not sure if she's still on it. I'm not, like, I haven't heard anything else. I thought she was supposed
she
to
put
be.
It on, they put it on Facebook.
Yeah. I posted it too, but I think I'm not. I can't, you know, be 100% sure. But I
let me find out. We about to get an exclusive.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I don't know. I'm being honest. You know, yo, listen. I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see it in circulation, so I can't really say. So I don't post it.
But that's true. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Whatever, how it works is that when something's getting ready to drop, then you know they notify everybody and they say, look, this is about to go in, and you know everybody start promoting for the team and all that. But nothing came across for her. So you know when it came, and then it stopped. And so I was like, all right, well, I don't know, and I asked no questions. That ain't got nothing to do with me. So I'm worrying about my contract.
Well, I appreciate how y'all doing it. Y'all doing everybody's book is called The Circle, and then you write it in your own way that you want to.
Right. That was actually I think Jack Clavis, they came up with that, where they give the story, the storyline, and then they, you know, they break it off for each author to take a character. So it starts in a different way.
Didn't it come from the end of one of their books?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know which book.
I'm
which
a
book
reader.
Did...
I can't remember the book.
Oh,
they got a lot of books. It was one of the more recent ones, but they introduced it.
Yes, absolutely right.
Because you are a reader and Writing Royalty Radio appreciates you calling in to give us support and support these two fine young men, gentlemen, in their writing ventures. I'm going to gift you a paperback of This Game Has No of June. Since you haven't read his book and you said you didn't read it, so This Game Has No Loyalty, I'm going to give you the paperback for the first one.
Beautiful.
I want you to hit my inbox.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. June, you're going to be at the Harlem Book Fair, right? Because I'm going to bring the book up there for you to sign it.
Yes, ma'am. I will definitely be there.
Okay.
God willing.
Okay. Amen. Something happen to the world between now and then. I'm going to be there. I'm going to see all y'all.
Make sure you hit Leisha's inbox, okay? And we appreciate you calling.
We appreciate that. I really thank you, Stacey. I really appreciate
thank
that.
You.
I hope you enjoy it.
Thank
too.
You guys for
thank
having
you, Stacey. Have a nice night, Stacey.
You bye-bye. Too, Mr. Sullivan.
It's good hearing your voice.
Okay, guys, you know it's my voice. Now, we only got about 10 minutes. We got tons of hands up. We want you guys to be able to talk to June Miller and talk to Leo Sullivan. So we want you guys to get in, say what, you know, your hays and what you want to say to them, ask your questions, and kind of keep it brief so the next person can come in. Go ahead, Aaron. Get that 414.
You are live. 414.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes, you're
hey. Hey, this is Shayana.
Hey, what's
up?
Hey, Shayana.
Hey, I was just calling to support my boss, Leo.
Hey, Shayana. How you doing, sweetheart?
Okay, okay.
I just wanted to say hey. And hi, June. I've read one of your books. Years ago, I think it was Loyalty, I believe.
Yes.
And
yes.
I loved it.
Thank
but
you,
I thought Diana. Like one of the, I forget, somebody said that they thought you was a woman. I did too.
Mm-hmm.
I just recently found out you was a man. But
hubba, hubba.
Hello.
How are you?
I am fine. I just wanted
I'm
to say hey.
Thanks. I like to fly
what's
under the radar.
Trying?
Appreciate you calling in.
Oh. Hey, and hey, Debo.
What's going on? I thought you forgot about the kid.
No, I've been working. Leo got me working so much, but I'm good.
Yeah, that's what's
Tony,
up.
I hear you reading Billionaire Thief 2. How you liking it?
This is Tony, Cheyenne. Is that a question for me?
Yes, how you liking
okay.
it?
I'm liking it. I actually started it on my commute home this evening, and I'm liking it so far, like I was telling Leo. It's not what I expected, but the expected is actually pretty good.
Okay, okay. And I enjoy writing it with Leo, so.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to see if I can see the difference in the writing between part one and two and see where you kind of fit in and see if I can. Because I'm so familiar with Leo's writing, I'm excited to get a taste of yours also.
Okay. Well, actually, Shannon was supposed to be on the show with me today, but I think time kind of got the best of our situation. But she is a talented author herself as well. She has several books out, and you all can expect more of her within the coming future. So right now she's pretty much running the company as my assistant. So she keeps everything going, you know, in terms of the office duties and stuff like that and payroll and everything. But thank you for calling in, Cheyenne. I really appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks,
nice
Cheyenne.
Thank you
for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling in, Cheyenne.
Yeah. All right.
Bye-bye.
We got 636. Good evening. You're live. Who are we speaking with?
You said 636.
That's
yes.
you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's really you.
Okay. All right. Hey, Juicy June. Hey, Leo. What's up, baby?
Hey.
Lewis.
What's up? Yo, what's up,
Nothing.
Jessica?
Nothing. Man,
what's
y'all know I go
on?
Hard for y'all. I love both of y'all. But, you know, you got my heart. You my boo.
Juicy June.
Yes, Juicy June. I'm an angel. He called me
she's
out.
She's one of the angels. She's one of the angels, yeah. She's one of the June
yeah.
angels, yeah. That's our little tight group.
Shout out.
Yeah,
hey, that's what's up.
Okay, now
I love
we got to be an angel.
I love
you.
That's my girl. They
Whoa.
Selfish. They selfish up in there, yo.
We
gonna keep
do.
That on
Uh-oh.
The low. Let's just keep that on the low. Yeah,
that's
they,
not
that's
nice.
That little thing.
Y'all got to share.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, we don't share.
I'm the only
no.
dude too.
Y'all got
Oof.
To share.
The only one.
They call
only.
Me Charlie. They call me Charlie.
Yeah.
Okay, Lisa, we might have to start the angels too. Right,
oh, no.
right. We gonna have
just
to start angels original. Too.
No, we're
I'm sorry, Cash. No angels too, Cash. You know, we
no.
team Cash. We roll with the chief.
That's
I don't know
that's
what
good.
The hell y'all gonna do after next week.
We gonna roll with Team Cash right up to the front, cause you know. I'm,
oh, okay.
Man,
well,
don't
get
me started. We only got 5 minutes.
Get y'all matching caskets.
Oh,
oh
hey,
man.
You
I'm
know
sorry.
How the bosses do, Aaron. You don't want it. You know how the boss is.
Yo, I'm going to tell y'all something, which I ain't realized throughout this whole thing while it was going down. Word to mother, this is real talk. We ain't never noticed how poised and relaxed I was, no matter what was going on.
Mm-hmm. When? what you talking about?
Okay.
We don't have enough time for that, the battle story. But we had you running.
Nah, but you're right. I ain't going to say nothing else. Jessica, do you have a question or a comment for Leo or June?
I just love y'all. Y'all work is just everything.
I love you back, too.
Man, you just don't know. Just hear y'all voice, see pictures on Facebook, interact with y'all, and to actually just talk to y'all. Y'all just don't know how much that makes up the fans, whatever y'all want to call us. Just connect with y'all. A little bit more better.
Well, you know, and to be in all honesty, we really, really, really like appreciate that, especially from the readers. And although I don't have like a big crazy fan base, the intimate ones that I do communicate with on a regular basis, I do have genuine love for them. You know that, Jesse. So
right,
they really appreciate it. I know I definitely appreciate it. I think every other author they actually appreciate the readers that. Appreciate us.
Yes.
Indeed.
But I'm going to go ahead and let y'all go so you can get another call, but I wanted to go ahead and show my love.
Thank you for calling in,
sweetheart. Like, real love.
You're
welcome.
Thanks for calling.
Yes,
thanks for calling.
Appreciate you calling
Thank
in.
Thank you.
June's
okay.
Angels.
Yes, angels all the time.
Shout out to June's angels.
Shout out to June.
They just started something.
They're going to be knocking on the door now.
Well, we got about 5 minutes left. We need y'all to definitely shout out y'all titles, where people can get them, any book signings, any places y'all going to be appearing at, and any other information y'all want to give the people. So why don't we start off with June, since she was the first one on the line.
Okay, I have a new title out, which is Spread Love the Brooklyn Way. It's currently out right now on Amazon. It's only on Kindle. Most importantly, what I want the readers to support is my daughter's debut, her first book. It's going to be in paperback. It's young adult fiction. Title is going to be Little Misunderstood. It's on pre-order now on Amazon. For paperback, and the actual Kindle version will be out on the 25th, when the book is actually released. And my upcoming novel from Owl is going to drop, I believe, Harlem Book Fair, and that's called International Regime. So whoever's going to come out to the Harlem Book Fair, come bring that love, and I'm out.
Hey. Oh, okay. I'm trying to fix Ben and talking to y'all. She got bad with me. I actually have a book that comes out tomorrow. It comes out tomorrow. The title of it is Save Sierra. I wrote it with one of my authors. Her name is... Okay. I wrote it with my author. Carmen Divine. Well, you know I'm all over the place over here, so y'all got bad with me. And it's debut tomorrow, so please support a brother, support her and the family. And other than that, I'm just, you know, as you all know, I just did a project with T Styles. And also released a book with Nika Michelle. And we just have other projects in the works. So I appreciate y'all having me on the show tonight. I'm very honored, and I can't express.
Did we lose him?
Hello? No, he did.
Oh, I heard something. Anyway, I'm very honored. I mean, it's a very humbling experience to, you know, for someone to acknowledge you, you know, in your work and stuff like that. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. So I had a great time tonight, and I wish each and every one of you success, you know. And if there's anything that you know, a project or something you want to work on, or if there's anything you want to talk to me about or anything like that, you can always hit me up on Facebook. Or Instagram, Leo Sullivan. And I haven't got my other social networking information. My assistant has all that stuff, though. But thank you all for having me, though. Honestly, I'm
yeah, for sure. And look out for me, man. I'm about to be hollering at you because I'm about to be coming up your way soon.
Okay, yeah, do that, man. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
All
that's
right.
On everything. I got you. All right, y'all have a nice night.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
And I appreciate it. I just want to
coming out.
Yeah, I want to shout y'all out too. Thanks for having me, y'all. This is really like real important for me. I appreciate that. Just being, you know, just being on the show is an honor. So just want y'all, you, Aaron, me, and you. You know, we got history, B.
Yes,
and
yes.
Nisha and and Miss Tony. It's good to meet y'all, and I hope we stay connected too. You know, so
absolutely. It's
again,
been a
thanks.
Pleasure.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes, we actually had a good time. We had a
great time. And we appreciate all the listeners and all the callers. I still see y'all holding on. We appreciate y'all staying with us and sharing y'all night with us. Leisha, Tony, y'all got anything else before I take us out?
No, I just want to say once again, thanks to June and Leo. I really enjoyed getting to know them better.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you all.
I definitely appreciate that. Thanks.
And also I want to give credit to you all for even establishing a forum like this to give us, you know, outreach to talk to the fans and stuff like that. Was a brilliant idea, you know. And anytime y'all, you know, want to talk to me or one of my authors or something like that, don't hesitate to ask. So I'm there.
Yes, for sure. June, you know we got to try to have your daughter on too.
I hope so. I hope so because that I'm prepping her too as well. You know, as we speak, I told her that there's gonna be a lot of interviews, so I want to get her like interview ready. You know,
June,
I'm gonna reach out to you. Yes.
All right.
When you get a chance, send me her package or something like that, and I'll promote it on my end as well. So you know, we gotta look out for them babies. That's
this
my
is
child too.
This.
You feel me?
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like that's my,
man.
You know what I'm saying? We got to raise them babies together. So,
that's right. That's
you know?
Right. Now, yo, collectively, man, I appreciate that.
I'm not just saying that. You know, I mean that from my heart, my brother. All right?
Okay, I appreciate that too, and I'm gonna definitely send something.
Yeah, get
in,
man.
Something.
If I could do any promotional thing or just put, you know, anything I can, if I can help in that situation, anything that I can do, man, let me know. All right.
All right. I appreciate that. Thanks a lot. See, that's what we talk about off the work, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Off the love, man.
Yo, we don't want to leave y'all with no dead air. We got 5 seconds and we are gone.
Good night, everyone. Thanks.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm out that Brooklyn, now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my ties, sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee, tell by my attitude that I most definitely leave from. I made the Yankee hat more famous than a Yankee can. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang of walking with my click though. Welcome to the melting pot, corners where we selling Africa been by the home of the hip-hop. Yellow cap, gypsy cap, dollar cap, holla back. For foreigners, it ain't fair, they act like they forgot how to act. 8 million stories out there in the naked city, it's a pity half of y'all won't make it. Me, I got a plug special and I got it made. If Jesus paying LeBron, I'm paying Dwayne Wade. 3 dice, Z-Lo, 3 card, Marley. Labor Day parade, rest in peace, Bob Marley. Statue of Liberty, long live the World Trade, long live the King, yo. I'm from the Empire State, that's
Count your New York.
take a step out of bounds quick. The sidelines is lined with casualties who sip to life casually, then gradually become worse. Don't fight the apple eve, caught up in the in crowd. Now you're in style, and in the winter gets cold, in vogue with your skin out. City of sin, it's a pity on a whim. Good girls going bad, the city's filled with them. Mommy took a bus trip, now she got a bust out. Everybody ride her, just like a bus route. Hail Mary to the city, you're a virgin, and Jesus can't save you, life starts when the church ends. Came here for school, graduated to the highlight. Ball players, rap stars, addicted to the limelight. MC and May got you feeling like a champion. The city never sleeps, better slip you an ambient.
Big dreams all looking.